Good morning, church. Okay. Sounds good. This is definitely the second service. I can tell that. We're the crowd that maybe forgot about the time change. I don't know. I came in this morning and I said, hey, remind me, is this the good time change or is this the bad time change? And they said, this is the bad one. I said, that explains why I'm feeling like this. Man, it is such an honor to be here with you guys, sharing God's word, preaching from the scriptures today. My name is Daniel Stavanis, as I said. Stally and my friends call me because I grew up overseas in Italy. And when I moved to the States, people said, you're the Italian Stallion. And I said, sure. And so that's my nickname. And if I haven't had the chance of meeting you, I used to work here. I was a youth pastor here for many years. And back in August, I stepped down from my role. I'm going to share a little bit about that as we talk this morning. But people have been asking me, what are you doing? What have you been up to? And I figured, since I'm here and since I have your attention, give me a second to update you a little bit on what life has been like for me. I keep telling people I'm retired, because it sounds better than I don't have a job. But no, in all seriousness, I felt led by the Lord to take a little bit of a season, a little bit of a break, kind of time to recharge and recalibrate and figure out what I want to keep doing and how I want to keep serving him. And it was something that I wasn't sure about. I stepped out in faith, and God has been incredible, and he has been working in me. And again, this message just goes so hand in hand with what he's been showing me. But of course, everyone wants to know, well, what are you doing? Like, how are you surviving? Like, what kind of stuff are you involved in? And I've been working primarily part-time for a company called Church Visuals. They make graphics and videos for churches and nonprofits, kind of like the stuff we see on our screens for churches all across the world that need videos or welcome announcements and slides and graphics. And so I've been working, helping with their website and doing some of their stuff with a brand transition. And then oddly enough, I've been DJing. I think if you were here a couple years ago, I shared about my desire. Like, I like music. I thought it'd be fun. And I started getting into DJing a little bit. And when I started doing stuff with students, if we needed a DJ, I would like schedule myself to come and like do it for free. But I've actually started doing it and enjoying it. And two churches reached out to me to come and DJ for their student ministry events. And then the new ALA Charter School reached out to me and said, do you want to DJ a father-daughter dance? And I said, well, I'm neither a father nor a daughter, but that sounds awesome. And so I went and DJed, and it was a blast. It was so much fun. And so I've been doing that a little bit. I've still been involved here at Mount Horeb. I've had the chance to teach in student ministry and Sunday school on our Wednesday night and Sunday night. I've been coming here second service over in that section, the bleacher, the nosebleeds. What's up, crew? I see you guys. And I've been coming. I'm a regular member. I fill out the little attendance sheet. I scan the QR code. I'm doing everything. And it has been a blast and an honor to be asked to come back. I told people I was coming out of retirement like Brett Favre for one Sunday. But I was asked to come and share this morning. I thought, man, what a joy and what an opportunity to come and do this with you guys. And so enough about me. We're in our series. We're continuing this series, the I Am series. And this is incredible because we're looking in the Gospel of John at seven statements that Jesus made where he says, I am, and then goes on to say something about him. Now, it's pretty remarkable because in his stating these I am statements, in his saying these things, he's doing two things. The first is he's doing a callback to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And I think we've mentioned this probably each week. When God was having a conversation with Moses, and he's saying, Moses, I want you to get ready to go free the Israel people out of slavery, out of Egypt, out of captivity. Moses is like, okay, reluctantly, I'll go, I'll do that. But who should I say sent me? And God says, tell them I am sent you. And so when Jesus comes along and he says, hey, I am, he's calling back to that, claiming and stating that he is the Son of God, that he is one with God, a divinity with him. But then the second thing that he does is he starts to give us a little bit more information about who God is by giving us these beautiful pictures, these beautiful images, these beautiful statements and metaphors of what he is like. I am. We've gone through a number of different one of those. We've gone through different statements that he's made. And if I can use some pilot talk, we are starting our initial descent as we're on the fifth I am statement this week. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Maybe even one of my favorite statements that Jesus makes out of all the I am statements. That's what we're focusing on today. And so if you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn to John chapter 10. If you have a physical Bible, scroll over, go over there. Blip, blip. If you've got your app, scroll over. John chapter 10, that's where we're gonna be. That's where we're camping out. We're gonna go through a bunch of verses in that chapter. Now, if you think to yourself, and maybe you have and you haven't, if you're thinking to yourself, wait a second, we've been in John 10 before in the series, then you get a gold star. Did anyone think that? Okay, sorry if you didn't, but if you did, you actually can come by the church this week, go to the front desk, ask for Miss Frida, and ask her for a lollipop. Tell her that I sent you, okay? If you knew, only if you knew, this is the honor system, that we had been in John chapter 10 before. Because a couple weeks ago, Trevor spoke on the I am statement when Jesus says, I am the door. So we've been here before, we already talked about that, but this is the only chapter of the I am statements that contains two I am statements in the same chapter. And so when Trevor was speaking, I was in the back, I was like, oh, don't say all the stuff that I'm gonna say. And then I'm here speaking, I'm like, let me not repeat all the things that he already said. And so there's gonna be some overlap, you're gonna hear some similar things, but these both I am statements are contained here in the same chapter, in chapter 10. Now, obviously when Jesus is speaking and he says, I am the good shepherd, the implication is that we are the, let's try that again, daylight savings. When he says, I am the good shepherd, the implication is that we are the, very good, that's awesome. That we're the sheep. And you see, sometimes we've thought this, we've heard this in sermons, you may have even heard it said here before, and we say things that like, sheep are dumb. And nobody likes to be called dumb, I get that, I understand that. And the truth is this, is maybe that's like an incomplete sentence, or an incomplete statement. You see, typically we would look at sheep and we think things like, well, they're not a predator animal, okay? They're not predatory. They don't have like attacking capabilities. They don't even have a defense system. In fact, I've been sermon prepping this week with Pastor Michael, who's preaching next door, and he sent me a video. I'm not sure how he stumbled upon it, but it was like, what happens if a sheep's wool gets too heavy? They can actually flip and topple over and lay like belly up with their feet in the air. And the commentator was like, if you're ever hiking in the wilderness and you see a sheep upside down, pick it up. Because it could save their life. And I'm thinking like, what? And I remember even in this room, Pastor Trevor gave a message one time on sheep and how they have this herd mentality. And if a sheep were walking and thought there was food over here, they literally would walk and walk and walk and fall off the edge. And if the other one came right behind it, he would do the same thing and the same thing and the same thing. And so I get why we say that. Sheep aren't the brightest tool in the shed. But the vision and the image that Jesus has towards sheep is a little bit of a different one. You see, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, he was looking at a crowd of people, and Jesus says, or the Bible says this about Jesus, it says, when he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and they were helpless. They were, listen to this, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The issue is that sheep are not dumb, but they are dependent on the shepherd. Sheep are dependent on a shepherd to take care of them, to help feed them, to help meet their needs, to help be the safety for them, and to accomplish all of these things that we're gonna find out and read about in this passage. And so when we hear ourselves in the picture of sheep, it's so easy to get like defensive, like, whoa, who are you calling a sheep, man? No, but it's a good thing, because that means that if we're sheep, then we're dependent on a shepherd. And luckily for us, we have got a good shepherd, amen? So, we're in John chapter 10, are you there? If you're there, let me hear your sheep sound. Bah. John chapter 10, verse 10, probably the a pretty well-known verse. Let's start there for a second. John 10, verse 10 says this, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now, that's kind of like the centerpiece of this message, that God is saying that, man, if you are my follower, if you are a part of my fold, if you are one of my sheep, you have access to this amazing, incredible life. He said that the enemy's trying to do something, but I came so that you may have life and have it more abundantly, have it to the fullest, have this incredible life that you're living. One commentator says it like this. He says, Jesus calls his followers not to a dour, lifeless, miserable existence that squashes human potential, but instead to a rich, full, joyful life, overflowing with meaningful activities under the personal favor and blessing of God in continual fellowship with his people. But how many of us can say that that's how we feel about life? How many of us can really say like, life's awesome? No, if we're honest, life can be sometimes difficult. It could be hard. There could be disappointments, betrayals, tough seasons, seasons of animosity, seasons of relationships that aren't working out, seasons of pain, of hurt, of regret, seasons where we don't know what to do. And for us today, there's hope, because as we find out and as we read and we study the words of Jesus, comparing himself with the good shepherd, we find out that there's a couple of things that the good shepherd does for us. So you guys ready to look at them? There's five of them. So if you have a pen and paper, if you've got a note app, get ready to write. I've kept them simple. I've kept them tied to the verses. You should remember them, but we're gonna dive in. I want you guys to write these down. These are five things that the good shepherd does for us. The first one is that the good shepherd guides his sheep. The good shepherd guides his sheep. You can also put the word leads. We're gonna see here in the verses how either one of these works out. The good shepherd guides his sheep. He's telling them where to go. He's taking care of them. He's in charge of them. And let's take a look here in first of verse three, he says, and you'll hear if you're here with Trevor's message, where he says, he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse three, to him, the shepherd, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all of his sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, there's a couple of things happening in this passage. The first one is this beautiful imagery of the sheep recognizing the voice of the shepherd. It says that the sheep know, and not only do they know, dumb animals, they actually know how to tell the difference between the shepherd and somebody else. They recognize the shepherd's voice, and they know that this voice over here is not the one to listen to. They can hear, they can recognize the callings and the guide of what the shepherd is saying. Trevor explained last time how when the shepherd had to put them somewhere in a pen for the night, there would probably be like all the shepherd's sheep, and then if there was another shepherd, he'd have all his sheep, another shepherd, and they would put them all in the same pen. And so the next morning when the shepherd came, and he'd say, hey, sheep, little sheep, come here, sheep, and he would call them. They heard and recognized his voice. The scholars think that they understood verbal commands. They think that they probably understood their songs. I don't know what they were singing to them. But it says they probably understood the flute tunes. Maybe they understood the harp, because we know that David was a shepherd and he played the harp and he wrote songs and he made music. So the sheep recognize all of this. But it also says here that he knew their name. Now, I don't know what their names were. I don't know if he had nicknames for them. If it was like, all right, come here, Fluffy, or come here, Powder, come here, Cloud, Cotton Candy. I don't know what kind of names he had for them. I don't know if he had nicknames, if he named all of them or just a few of them. We don't know how many sheep are there. But we do know there's a parable about 100 sheep and the shepherd realizing that one was missing at one point. He knows them personally by name. And Jesus knows you by name. Think about that for a second. How powerful is that? That Jesus, the one who I am, is the same as God, knows your name. And even says in scripture that he made you before the foundation of the world. He knit you together in your mother's womb. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. And Jesus says in different places in scripture, in Hebrews and Romans, that he actually sits next to the Father praying on your behalf, praying for you by name. Because the good shepherd guides his sheep. There's also one more detail in these verses that we saw that we just read specifically about the shepherd guiding his sheep. And it says here in verse four, it says, when he's brought them all out, he goes before them. Now, I just thought this was interesting that the shepherd would go in front, he would go before the sheep to kind of like make them follow him so he could call out to them so that he could see what was coming ahead. If there were some dangers, if there was like a little hill, what was on the other side? What were they gonna encounter? Was there a cliff? Was there anything to look out for? And he's leading from the front, which feels kind of different than our culture where we have this like top-down leadership where there's this boss that kind of barks out orders. But the shepherd is willing to like go and lead the flock and get into the nitty-gritty, we would say, with them and walk with them and journey with them and guide them from the front of the pack. I remember when I was in high school, I told you guys I grew up in Italy, and I was in high school and we took a class trip one time. It was for our teaching English as a foreign language class. And so even though I spoke English, I spoke American, I was from America, I was fluent, the teachers thought I still had to sit in this foreign English class. And so I had to learn things like, hello, my name is Daniel. My hobbies are, And so our class decided to take a trip to England, which is one of the nice things about being in Europe. And so we were gonna go to England for a week. And the teacher and I, let's just say we didn't totally get along. I think I kind of had a bad attitude, I'll own that, for being in this English class that I didn't wanna be in. And so the teacher was telling us about the trip we were gonna take to England. And every day we were gonna go to this English school and take classes. And in the afternoons, we'd have some free time. We had activities, excursions. We were spending a whole day in London. It was gonna be awesome. All of my friends were going. And one of the days when she was telling us about the different activities, the different things that we would be doing, she said to us, hey, on our free day on Thursday, we're gonna go to a really nice restaurant. And so I kind of perked up, okay, this sounds good. Where are we going? She said, well, I can't remember the exact name of it. She goes, but it's an incredible restaurant, a beautiful fine dining establishment where they serve fried chicken from Kentucky. And I looked at her, I said, are you talking about KFC? Because I don't know if that's even like in the restaurant status. No, I'm not hating on the chicken. But it was so interesting to me because we didn't have that in Italy. Nobody knew what that was. And she thought it was gonna be this incredible place. And so I was like, reluctantly, okay, we'll see how this trip goes. And so sure enough, we went on the trip. And I could tell even in the airport, like, and I don't mean to talk bad about her, but the teacher just didn't know where we were going. And she would kind of like not figure out where our gate was, our terminal. And I'd been flying since I was a little child growing up overseas. So I was like, maybe we should go left. And we'd go left and go there. And it didn't really help the relationship, the friendship that I had with her. But I remember trying to like give suggestions to kind of help get us there safely all in one piece. And I remember sure enough that Thursday came around and we walked what felt like 35, 40 minutes from the school, all of these little back roads in the neighborhood. They'd given us a photocopy paper version map of the town. And we walked to what seemed like the edge of the map to find the one KFC. And I will say this, it was glorious, okay? Because we were in another country, I didn't have that in Italy. It was awesome, it was an experience. Now on the way back from KFC, as we were following the teacher, she was leading us. And I just kind of noticed like, we kind of really aren't really going the right place. Like it seems like we should have made a couple rights. This does not look like. And I remember trying to like suggest that maybe we should do something different. And so I'm in the back hanging out with my buddies, having a good time, like, hey, do we really know where we're going? You know, you kind of like murmur and like the group would kind of get like antsy. And I said, maybe we should go right. And you know, like the word would kind of spread. Maybe we should go right. Do you think we should go right? Do you think we should go there? And eventually I realized this wasn't leading anything, wasn't helping anything. We were still just kind of lost. And the teacher was just like set on going where she thought we needed to go. So finally, when I realized as I looked at the map that we were about to cross over to off the edge of the map, like where we didn't have more paper, I kind of sprinted along to the front. I found the teacher and I put on my biggest smile, my biggest charm. And I said, hey, listen, I'm pretty sure that this next turn is gonna take us all the way back to the front of the school. And most of us live on that side of the school. So if it's cool with you, you know, since you know, speak the language, maybe we can go over this way. And oddly enough, she agreed. And so I looked at the students. I turned around to the class. I said, hey, you guys can follow the teacher. You guys can go wherever you want. I'm going this way. I took my best friend, we were staying in the same house, and some of my closer friends, and we just took off, and I took charge, just started leading. And sure enough, the majority followed us, and after another 35 minutes of walking, we made it to the front of the school. Everyone got home, we all lived to tell the story. But the truth is this, the good shepherd understands that he can't lead from the back, he can't just like whisper suggestions, no, he has to take charge and take a leading role and direct and guide and lead the people. So I don't know where you find yourself today. I don't know how your life is going. If you have this abundant life, if you feel like you're living the John 10:10 life, or maybe you feel a little bit lost, like you need some direction. Understand that the good shepherd guides his sheep. You guys still with me? Okay, five of you. Number two, the good shepherd provides for his sheep. The good shepherd provides for his sheep. Now, let me go ahead and say this. Some of this overlaps, some of these categories, like we'll see this in the verses, but some of these categories are not clear, cut, and dry, but the shepherd provides for his sheep. We see here in the verses, I'll read these verses in verse, we stopped at verse four. Verse five says, verse six says, this was a figure of speech that Jesus was using to explain things to them. They didn't understand it. So in verse seven, Jesus says to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves, robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. And then he says in verse nine, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and he will go in and he will find pasture. Now, this is a verse that Trevor preached on, and suffice to say that out of the two imageries, I just kind of wonder, like, if I could ask God anything, and maybe this will happen one day when I meet him and see him face to face, I'm going to say, Jesus, I love the imagery. I am the good shepherd. Like, it's cool. It's rich. It's awesome. Not sure what you were doing with the door. Okay, I just don't know, but no, I get it. Like it's the gateway, enters salvation, get it. I just, I don't know. But it says here in verse 9, it says that the other part of it, it says, if they come in, they will find pasture. They will find provision. They will find food. Now, interestingly, Psalm 23, which is also written about shepherd, God, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is a famous psalm. Verse 2 says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see, we get this beautiful image of the good shepherd providing physically for the needs of his sheep. Now, I saw a meme last night where someone said, I prayed over my 8-count piece chicken nuggets from Chick-fil-A that I bought. And I opened it and there was 12 in there. This is my testimony. It's not quite like that. Now, we're talking about a provision, a physical provision that the good shepherd is to have for his sheep. Now, it contrasts this to the words of Ezekiel 34, where they're actually speaking against the religious rulers of the time. And the words that Ezekiel says, it says to speak against the shepherds of Israel because they have been feeding yourselves and not feeding the sheep. They were taking the sheep's wool, their milk, they're butchering them. They were not nurturing them. In fact, this whole passage sits right in the middle of Jesus admonishing the Pharisees in chapter 9 because they were doing their own thing. They weren't leading like they were supposed to be leading. That's why there's a good shepherd contrasted to the other shepherds who weren't taking care of the sheep. The good shepherd provides, unlike the bad shepherds. It's interesting, sometimes though, we put ourselves in these situations as well. We do this to ourselves. We think we know what we need. We think we know exactly what needs to happen, and we go for it, we do it. Then we find ourselves in a crisis. We find ourselves needing to rely on him, the good shepherd. But if we understand and believe and see that the good shepherd provides for our needs, then we can start to trust him. Now, this isn't always an easy process, but this is the season that I've been going through. The good shepherd is providing for me in a season of unknown, of walking by faith. You see, I felt last year somewhere a nudge by the Holy Spirit, and I confirmed it like a million times with other people and praying, that God was just kind of stirring in my heart to do something different. I'd been here working for 9 years. I liked what I was doing. I liked the students. I liked the families. I enjoyed everything. But God just started to kind of move in my heart and saying, there's something different for you. It's like most people, it's like, are we sure, God? Are you positive? But God kept moving and kept stirring. And so as I started to think about stepping down, about doing something different, I looked into some other jobs and nothing was coming along. And I felt like God was still moving me to take that step of faith. So I was like, all right, God, what am I gonna do for work? What am I gonna do for provision? What am I gonna do for money? And he said, just trust me. So I remember meeting with a mentor, a friend of mine, a professor at CIU that I had many years ago. And I said, you know, we've all heard the stories because we would have missionaries come and speak to us in chapel. And they would tell these stories where it was like, man, I didn't know where the money for my electric bill was gonna come. The bill's $175.13. I don't know how I'm gonna pay that. And then they would like say, I went to the mailbox that day and wouldn't you know there was a check for $175.13. I was like, I wish I had that faith. I told the professor, I was almost mocking that. I said, what am I gonna do every day? Walk to the mailbox and back? And he was like, you need to trust God. Trust that he will provide. Well, wouldn't you know that God did provide? He provided opportunities. He provided ways that hobbies of mine of doing web stuff, of doing DJing could actually produce income to survive. He had provided for me in that a year before he started to prompt in my heart, I was kind of convicted that I needed to get out of debt. I had a lot of student loans. I said, all right, this is silly. I need to get done with this. And I just focused in on it. And I got very disciplined with my budget. And I picked up little side jobs and I started to get out of debt. And so I put myself in a place financially where I was like, okay, well, all right, God, I'm not sure how you're gonna provide, but I don't need as much right now. I'm trusting you. And even this past year in January, as I was doing these little side gigs and little jobs, things started to get a little bit tighter. And so I put some of my expenses on a credit card and that bill started to get a little higher. I was like, well, I don't wanna go back in debt. I was like, what are we doing? God, are you still here? Are you still providing? And a couple weeks ago, somebody called me and said, hey man, you haven't come in to do your taxes? And I was like, oh, forgot about that. Still gonna do taxes even when you're retired. And so I went in and I filled out my tax paperwork and it was taking a little bit longer. And he said, man, why don't you take care of this? I had another appointment. He said, go do that and I'll finish up here. And he texted me later that night. And he told me how much I was getting in a return. Now it wasn't exact to the penny. It wasn't 175, 30, 13 cents, But it was pretty much what I needed to pay off that credit card. And then more jobs started to come in. And God reminded me, I'm providing for you. I'm guiding you. I'm leading you. I'm still walking alongside of you. And I know what you're thinking, well, Stal, wouldn't that be nice? I'd like some of that money. No, I get it. Sometimes God provides for us in jobs, and sometimes he provides for opportunities. And sometimes we do go through tough financial times. But God is still saying, I'm there, I'm providing, do you trust me? Because I think even in our hardest times, if we're honest with ourselves, God is still there. And he's still guiding us and providing for us. So the good shepherd guides his sheep. The good shepherd provides for his sheep. Number three, the good shepherd protects his sheep. Now hopefully this gives comfort, because many of us find ourselves in battles, maybe even battles that we didn't choose or battles that we didn't know of, battles that we don't want. But the good shepherd is out to protect his sheep. So let's look at verse 10. We read this one. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and life abundantly. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, he who does not own the sheep, he sees the wolf coming, he leaves. The sheep all flee and they scatter, and the wolf snatches them and he scatters them. And he flees because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. You see, if you read through this chapter, you see over and over and over again, there's some real danger. You hear about the robber in verse 1, a stranger in verse 5, stranger danger. In verse 8, it talks about the thief and the robber. In verse 10, it says the thief who's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And in verse 12, it talks about the wolf. And again, if we're making the comparison with David, who was a shepherd, David said he wrestled lions, he wrestled bears. The wilderness in Judah, in Judea was a real thing. It was dangerous. That's why Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The good shepherd is there protecting me. You see, there's real dangers even in our life. But with the image of the shepherd, we talked about the pen where he would put all the sheep. But sometimes when he would go out and he was in the wilderness and they needed an evening makeshift pen, they would take rocks and make this kind of semicircle, almost like the letter C, where they would put rocks all around in a semicircle and keep one little portion open. On top of the rocks, they would put real pointy branches and vines with thorns, and they would try to keep everyone out. And the shepherd, the good shepherd, would go and lay down right at the entrance, right across the sea. He would put his own body right in front of the opening to protect the sheep, one, from them wandering and escaping and walking out, and to protect them for if anyone were to come through the opening, they would have to go through him first. You see, the good shepherd is willing to protect his sheep even with his own life. He's willing to lay down his own life for his sheep. And then he compares this to a hired hand. A hired hand doesn't have the same kind of passion, doesn't have the same kind of drive, that same kind of commitment, because it's not his sheep. But we who are sheep, dependent on the good shepherd, dependent on Jesus, we know that he takes his life and he's willing to give it up for us, for you, for me. No matter what we've done, no matter what our past looks like, no matter what kind of things we've got going on, still he's willing to protect us, even at the cost of his own life. So the good shepherd guides us. The good shepherd provides for us. The good shepherd protects us. What number are we at? The good shepherd knows his sheep. Now, this is going to sound familiar at this point. I was debating about creating it or not. But I think there's a little bit of a nuance. The good shepherd knows his sheep. We've talked about hearing his voice. We've talked about listening and recognizing what the shepherd says to his sheep. But in verse 14, he repeats, I am the good shepherd. He says, I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for my sheep. And I have other sheep that are not from this fold and I must bring them in also. They will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now, I think of the first part, we said they know his voice. Jesus knows our name, and there's something beautiful and powerful about that. But you can know someone's name and not even know them truly. But here, Jesus takes away all kind of doubt. He says, no, I mean, I know your voice. You know my voice. I know your name, but I know you. I have a relationship with you. There's something special that happens here in this this knowing of God, knowing us, where he says, I know your likes, your dislikes. I know your personality, I know your quirks, I know your bad habits. And it's because he knows us and he can guide us, provide for us, protect us, because he has a relationship with us. It's tailor-made to us. God speaks to us in a way that makes sense to us, that is caring for us, the sheep that he knows and the sheep that he loves. A friend of mine pointed out to me in verse 15, it has this beautiful comparison. It says, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I know you. So he says, the same way that I, Jesus, know God and have a relationship with him, in that same way, you can know me, Jesus. He's saying you have access to Jesus, therefore access to God, the creator of the universe. You can know him. You can have a relationship with him. We've taught students many times. The simplest form of a relationship with God is think of who your best friends are. You spend time with them. You talk with them. You relate to them. And sure, you can't text God or go watch a movie with him or go to a ball game, but man, you can read his word and you can spend time in prayer and you can get to know what he is like, what his character is like. He's like a good shepherd. And you can build that relationship with him. Later in chapter 15, Jesus will go to say, I now call you friends. Jesus believes and establishes that we can have a friendship, a close relationship with him, the good shepherd. I love verse 16 then. He even says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. It means he knows even the sheep that aren't in there yet. Now here specifically, he was talking to the Gentiles, us, non-Jewish people. He was saying, there's other sheep that are gonna come into this fold and eventually they're gonna know me too. And he already was foreshadowing, already looking ahead at who they were and how he could love and connect and relate to them. So the good shepherd guides his sheep. The good shepherd provides for his sheep. The good shepherd protects his sheep. The good shepherd knows his sheep. And finally, all encompassing, the good shepherd loves his sheep. That's where it ends. It brings it all back together. And I said there's overlap. All these work out to be together. But ultimately, the good shepherd loves his sheep. Verses 17 and 18 say this. For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it up from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I received from the Father. Jesus says the good shepherd is willing to love his sheep to the point even of death. And that's what he does. That's what we celebrate at Easter. Not just the death part, but the picking his life back up, the resurrection. Jesus says in scripture that in John 15, he says, greater love has no one than this, that he was lay his life down for his friends. And we just said that we are made his friends. He's willing to love us. He's willing to love us even to the point of death. I wonder sometimes, do we understand that? Are we able to grasp that? Because oftentimes we're like, man, I don't love myself that way. How can God love me like that? We remind people, we've reminded students, I've reminded myself that I need to be able to receive God's love. Now for some people, if they're struggling with pride and arrogance, you're like, okay, buddy, you need to love yourself a little less. But oftentimes for us, we need to learn to love ourselves more, to understand that God sees us as valuable. God sees us as worthy. God sees us as sheep, not dumb sheep, but sheep that are depending on him, that are worthy of his death and resurrection, that he willingly would lay down his life for you, for me, for his sheep. Good shepherd guides, provides, protects, knows, and loves his sheep. So what do we do? What do we do with all these things? When I was younger, as a kid, I remember reading those Choose Your Own Adventure books. Do you remember that? Choose Your Own Adventure. It was a book that would set up in the first few pages the premise, the synopsis of the story, the characters, and something would happen, some kind of crisis, and they had to go and solve it. And so you start reading, and you get to like page 5 or 6, and it said, man, you think this group of kids should do this or should do that? If it was option A, it would say, go over to page 17. If it was option B, it said, go to chapter 30. And you would skip ahead in the book and start reading wherever you landed. And you would read through, and then get to another fork in the story. It said, you think they should do this or should they do that? It would tell you to jump here, jump there. And eventually you would make it to an ending. And I always remember the bottom, it said, if you're not satisfied with this ending, you can go back to page 5, 6, whenever you made that first choice and read through it again. Now, hear me, I'm not suggesting that we're picking and choosing or not satisfied with the ending at all from scripture. But what I am suggesting is that maybe out of these five things that the Good Shepherd does, maybe right here, right now, today, there's one or two or three that just are kind of tugging at your heart. Like you're like, the good life, John 10:10, I want that, the abundant life. I want to feel that. I want to receive that. I want that meaningful life, but I feel like I'm stuck with whatever it is. Maybe you need to trust God's provision, or maybe you feel like there's battles and there's fights going on and there's conflict in your life and you're not sure what's next. So for each of these, I want to give you just an idea of maybe what is the next step, the application of this. So if the good shepherd guides his sheep, maybe it's time to listen to his voice. Maybe it's time to pick up the scriptures and sit down in prayer and just say, Lord, speak to me. And sadly, God's voice is not always audible. In fact, it's rarely audible and tells exactly what to do. But he'll impress on your heart where to move and how to go. And you meet with a trusted leader or other friends, and he'll affirm that. Listen to his voice. The good shepherd provides for his sheep. And the action step there is to eat his food. Receive that provision. Go to the pastures. I really think reading God's word is the best way to receive from God. To grow spiritually, to start to feed ourselves and mature. And we give the analogy of Jesus being like the bread. Let's go to the bread and let's go and source ourselves and nourish ourselves with his provision. The good shepherd protects his sheep. If you're in need of protection, if you're in need of safety, then maybe it's time to trust God with every situation. Trust him with whatever you're not sure. Trust him with what worries you. Trust him with your finances. Trust him with your next step. Trust him with your family. The good shepherd knows his sheep. I wrote, meet with him. Have a relationship with him. Spend time with him. And I get it. I'm like everybody else. There's times we'll read scripture and we don't feel encouraged. We don't feel like this is awesome. Keep doing it. Keep meeting with him. Keep meeting him face to face and trust that relationship is being developed. The good shepherd loves his sheep. If that stirs some emotions in you this morning, then I pray that you would receive his love. The good shepherd guides, provides, protects, knows, and loves his sheep so we can listen to his voice, eat his food, trust his safety, meet with him, and receive his love. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, thank you so much. First and foremost, for coming alongside of us, desiring a relationship with us. Thank you, Father God, for being our good shepherd. You made us to be sheep, and it's not a negative. It just means that we're dependent on you. So I pray that we would turn to you, look to you, receive from you everything that we need: guidance, provision, protection, love, communion, and intimacy. Father, would you grow us to become sheep who can depend on you every step of the way? And when we do that, Father, we learn that we actually start to live a more fulfilling, a more satisfying, a more freeing life, the life more abundantly that you speak of in verse 10. So God, for all the people in this room today, for myself included, thank you that you're guiding us. Thank you that you're working in us. Don't give up on us, Father. Let us continue to press into you and make us to be more like you. We pray these things in your holy name.